we have several announcements at the beginning tonight. The first one is that we're excited about the fact that the Beginner's Guide to Revelation by Ray Sullins has now been published, and the books are available. This is a grace gift from our church, and after the service tonight, these books will be available and on next Sunday. So I just want you to know that that's what it looks like, front and back. This is what it looks like by my holding it in hand. And so you be sure and get your copy tonight and share this information, wonderful information. Daniel's 70th week, I've studied that from his book. And then today I went back and went through the rest of his book and enjoyed it immensely. And so I just wanted to share that at the beginning tonight to let you know that this book is available. Also, I need to tell you that this coming Saturday morning, we will have the memorial service for Randall Pitts. The visitation will be from 9:30 to 10:30. This will be at the Navarro Funeral Home, and then the service will be from 10:30 following. So you'll keep that in mind, please. I also want you to be aware of the fact that I don't make a lot of mistakes, but occasionally I do, and sometimes I misspell words, and sometimes I print words improperly, and I want you to know that sometimes I have spell checks. John is one of my spell checks, and so if I make a mistake, I ask for people to give me help. Some of you didn't notice this, but that's pneumatology. We gave that to you. No one looked it up to tell me what it meant, but this is the way it should have been. It's pneumatology. So in case you have that one down in your notes, scratch through it, please, and write this one down. Today has been my day in getting things ready for the bulletin next Sunday. I have written out the title of the Sunday morning service, the first session, and I put I'm supposed to have the panorama of human history, and I put the panorama, and John looked that up, I think, and it means smelly. The second message I sent over to Kristen to put in the bulletin was, don't forget the source of your prosperity. And it should have been, don't forget the source of your prosperity. So, if you find any mistakes in next week's bulletin, it will be Kristen's fault. Because I think I've gone through it over and over again, and I think that probably we have it just about right. We received a request for prayer from Andrea about a neighbor whose son has some difficulty in the hospital. I don't have that information. It was emailed to me, and somehow I don't have it. But we can get that. We'll have it for next Sunday for the bulletin and for the announcement. Oh, since you're here and I have the announcements, the deacons' meeting is 10/27 of this month. The churchwide Christmas party is 12/8. Bibles to Asia. Don and Joy will be leaving on the 28th of this month. Each quarter, our church sends funds to Germany, Africa, Pakistan, Bibles to Asia, Philippines, and gifts were sent this last week. I also have a little announcement here. If you have a prayer request that we don't know about, if you'll turn it in on Sunday, we can share those prayer requests with everyone. Now, I usually don't take this much time to make announcements, but I felt like it was necessary for us to let you know that the pastor only made two mistakes today, and that was in the title of the sermons for next Sunday. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness, as the stars forever and ever. Daniel 12:3. Psalm 118, verse 8. It is better to trust in the word of the Lord than to put confidence in man. Psalm 118, verse 8. Psalm 86, verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to be occupied with thy name. Psalm 86:11. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. You see this verse on the screen before you, and you have it on the back of last Sunday's bulletin. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. We're going to spend a few moments in prayer before we begin our study this evening. We want to encourage all of our hearts to spend this time in prayer so that we can be properly related to our Savior as we study His Word together. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. May we bow together for prayer, please. Father, we rejoice tonight in the fact that we realize that in life there are many things that come our way that we face as we face life daily. Many times these are wonderful experiences, and sometimes the experiences of life are trying and testing for us. And so we pray that we will realize the importance of utilizing spiritual fuel every single day, realizing also the fact that we cannot be victorious and triumphant in life if we're not operating within the framework of the divine power sphere. And so we're thankful this evening that we're privileged to be here. We're thankful for the opportunities which you give us in life. We're thankful for the fact that we're your children, saved by your matchless grace. And tonight we pray for those whose hearts are heavy and bereaved. We pray for those who are physically ill of our church family. We know that you know each one, and we pray that your will shall be accomplished in all these individuals' lives. And as we study tonight, we pray that we will have a desire to grow and advance in the wonderful Word of God. And we thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you tonight to go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. And I've written now for myself a literal translation of these verses, and we're going to read down through verse 10. And you can follow along as you look at your translation, whatever translation you have there. And I'll be giving you the more literal translation. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The apocalypse of Jesus Christ, which the God was given to him, Jesus Christ, to make known to his slaves things which must soon take place. Furthermore, he, the glorified Christ, communicated this message, having sent it to his slave, to John, through the teaching angels. Verse 2, John made a disposition, in other words, put it in writing, written form, about everything to which he was an eyewitness, namely the word given by God and the testimony given by Jesus Christ. Verse 3, happy is he who teaches exegetically, and happy are those who keep hearing the words of this prophecy. That's the book of Revelation. And keep guarding those things which have been written in it, for the time of application, discernment, is near. Revelation 1, 4, John to the seven churches. Those who are in Asia, a Roman province, grace be to you, and peace, grace, and prosperity to you from him who is Christ in hypostatic union, who always existed, Christ as eternal God, and who is to come, Christ at the second advent, and from the seven spirits, God the Holy Spirit as the power system, who are before his throne. Verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, the dependable witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the planet, to him who has loved us and having delivered us out of our sins by means of His own blood. And He's provided, brought about for us, a royal power, that is the divine power sphere, so that we can function as priests to God, even the Father. To Him is the glory and the might, that's the ruling power, unto the ages of the ages. Amen. Verse 7. Remember, behold, consider, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye shall see Him, including everyone who has pierced Him, and all the tribes of the land will grieve about Him. So it shall be. I acknowledge it. Then verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, the one being, the one who was, and the one coming, the Almighty. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. I, John, your fellow believer and partner in the pressures, the sufferings, and the kingdom, and the persistence, and I put in parentheses here, residence and function inside God's sphere of power in Jesus, came to be on the island, the one being called Patmos, because of the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Verse 10, which we see on the screen, I came, or I was, in spirit on the day belonging to the Lord, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet. If you'll notice, I translated it, I came, or I was, in spirit on the day belonging to the Lord. What we have here is an interesting passage of Scripture. We've already emphasized the fact that last Sunday we looked at an island worship service. We looked also at the second service last Sunday, the greatest textbook of history. And tonight we analyze this verse with the last part of the verse, receiving the Word of God requires the filling of the Holy Spirit. So tonight we're going to be, first of all, talking about spiritual production. And I'm going to put this on the screen for you to see. Spiritual production. I only have 6 points here, but we're going to analyze this for a good little while. Sources of spiritual or spirit production. This is done, it is good done, by the heavenly power. What we have here is an emphasis on some sub-points. The sub-point one is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Sub-point truth. Sub-point two is truth in the human spirit, which is the spiritual house of the soul. And sub-point three is soul production by the Spirit. Let's analyze those 3 points for just a few moments. All of us are fully aware of the fact that if we're to live our lives in accordance with God's plan, we have to understand that we are responsible for spirit production. That simply means good done by heavenly power. We can live our lives inside of the divine power sphere, or we can live our lives outside of that power sphere. And when we're outside the power sphere, we're under the control of satanic thinking. So the most important factor that I can present to you tonight under point one is sub-point one, and that's the filling of the Holy Spirit. We've analyzed this many times. We have understood the meaning of the filling of the Holy Spirit. It simply means that when we're in harmony and fellowship with our Lord, in a right relationship with Him. Sub-point two, truth in the human spirit. This is very important because we are aware that we cannot function according to God's plan if we do not have the thinking, the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the reason why sub-point two is truth in the human spirit, or us building the spiritual house of the soul. Number three, the sub-point three under number one, is soul production by the Spirit. It is very, very important for us to be able to understand that God wants us to live a life of victory and triumph He wants us to be happy and radiant in this life. And lives on the earth are so short, it's very important then that we understand the importance of living our lives with a soul production by means of the power of the Spirit of God. Number two, you can see on the screen, spirit production resolves the angelic conflict. Spiritual production resolves the angelic conflict. If you'll notice, we have a verse of Scripture up here for you, and that is Romans chapter 12, verse 21, which says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Now, while you're taking that down, let me put the verse on the screen for you so you can see it more in detail. In Romans chapter 12, verse 21, the Apostle Paul, in speaking to the Roman believers, is saying, "Be not conquered by the evil." And I want to take a moment to point out some things for you to see. And that is that we, first of all, have what is known as a negative may. There are various negative adverbs. We've analyzed them many, many times. But we are not going to talk about this, only to point out that normally this particular negative may goes with a verb in the subjunctive mood. However, this time, if you'll notice, it is a verb in the imperative mood. And the reason I'm pointing out this out to you is because we have a negative may with a verb in the imperative mood, which is a command. And so it's saying, be not conquered, be not the recipient of being conquered by means of evil. We'll talk about that later. But you'll see that the word is N-I-K-A-O. Nikao is the word. Nikos is the word victory, triumph, a winner. And so this is telling us that we're commanded not to be conquered by evil. But notice, please, that this is a present tense verb, which means continuous action. The passive voice says the subject receives the action of the verb, and this is saying that the believer is not to be the recipient, and he's commanded not to be the recipient of being conquered, ruled, controlled by evil. I'll stop for just a moment to let you see how powerful this is, and that is, let's look at the word evil. It is the word kakos, K-A-K-O-S. Here it is in the genitive singular, K-A-K-O-U. We have a command not to be conquered by means of evil. Then we have a conjunction of contrast. The conjunction of contrast is ala, A-L-L-A. We have again another verb. This time is the same one that we have up here, nakao, used in a different way here. Because in this particular presentation, it is not a present passive imperative, it is a present active imperative. Powerful indeed to see this, and that is that continuous action means that you and I have the responsibility of being ruler, being the conqueror, being victorious, being triumphant over evil. And there's only one way for that to be done, and that is by means of the good. Have you followed along with me on this fast enough? I'm trying to do it rapidly, but I want you to see how great a verse this is. Romans 12, 21 is giving us some commands. And it is simply saying that you and I have the responsibility of living our lives within the framework of the divine power sphere. And we're not to be conquered by evil, satanic thinking, rulership of Satan. But the contrast is, we are to be victorious. It is continuous to be in our lives, present tense, active voice. The subject, that's the believer, produces the action of the verb. Imperative mood, it's another means of command. And he says, but conquer the evil. And I also need to point out that the word here, evil, is K-A-K-O-N, which is a suffix O-N, which is the accusative suffix, which is the direct object of the sentence, and is telling us that there's only one way for us to be victorious and triumphant, and that is for us to be doing it by means of the good. And most of you are able to see that the word good here is the Greek word agathos, A-G-A-T-H-O-S. The way it's used here is A-G-A-T-H-O. Now, if you think that I'm excited about that, I am, but we're going to move along to number three. But let's reiterate point two. Spirit production resolves the angelic conflict. Romans 12:21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil by means of the good. Number three, spirit production comes as a result of an understanding of and utilization of the grace system of comprehension. You may be wondering why I'm holding my Bible in my hand. The reason is because I have some scriptures marked, and I'm going to turn to it in a few moments, but I wanted to be sure that I had it for you. You notice, if you will, please, that the first scripture that I would have you turn to is Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. So I'm going to have you, if you will, please, to go to the book of Colossians, and we're going to be looking at verse 9 and 10 of chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, I'll get to it, Colossians. And it's chapter 1, and let's look at verse 9 and 10. If you want to, you can look it up. If not, you just listen as I read the verses to you. This is Colossians 1, verse 9. The Apostle Paul writing to the Colossian believers. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we've not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, this is two powerful verses for me to just read and move along without commenting. The Apostle Paul is writing to these Colossian believers, and he's saying, I want you to know that we've not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge. If you'll look that word up, you will discover that the word knowledge is the Greek word epinosis. This is not the word gnosis. This is not the word gnosko. This is the word epinosis. So the Apostle Paul says, we pray for you and we ask that you may be filled with the epinosis of His will in all spiritual wisdom. And I stop for just a second to tell you that the word wisdom is the Greek word sophia. And the Greek word for sophia, as all of you probably remember, is the word which means the application and utilization of truth. Wisdom is the application and utilization of truth. So we read it again. We pray continually for you Colossian believers, that you may be filled with the knowledge, epinosis, of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. I don't know whether you've ever noticed, but the word worthy is used a lot of times in the New Testament. And right here it is saying that these Colossian believers walk worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. The next passage is 2 Timothy 2:21, 2 Timothy 3:17, and Titus 2:7. I did not highlight these because I did not mark them to go and read them to you, but I wanted you to take them down. Spiritual production, then, number three, comes as a result of an understanding of and utilization of the grace system of comprehension. Number four, while the believer is on the earth, she is to produce by means of grace. And that's the reason why I've said, study here Ephesians 2:10, 1 Corinthians 15:10. I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to go to the book of Ephesians. I've already marked it for myself so I can find it quickly. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now that is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. For what purpose? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The next passage of Scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. I have it marked so I can go to it rapidly. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 10 says, "But by the grace of God," Paul said, "I am what I am, and His grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me." What a magnificent passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 15:10. So we have Ephesians 2:10 and 1 Corinthians 15:10, which I will not read now, is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Number 5, spiritual production is accompanied by stability. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17. In number 6, you see it on the screen, spirit production will be rewarded. And this is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. I've given you enough time, I think, to take this down. I want to move this so that we can go back to our verse of Scripture, which is Revelation 1:10. If you'll notice, it says, "I came to be in the Spirit." Literally, it says, "I came in Spirit." On the imperial day, on the day belonging to the Lord, and I heard, notice please the word heard here, is the Greek word akouo, A-K-O-U-O, aorist active indicative. I heard behind me a voice, great as of a loud, great megalane, a great voice as of a trumpet. Let me first of all tell you that I want to get in just a few moments to that last word on the screen, which is the word trumpet. I also want to emphasize the fact that this is unusual, because here's John out there on the Isle of Patmos, a very magnificent experience taking place, and it says that he heard behind me. I heard behind me a voice. What kind of a voice? Megalane, great voice, as of a trumpet. What this is telling us is that the Spirit of God is working magnificently in the life of John out there on the Isle of Patmos. In order for us to appreciate this, there are some things we need to understand about the Holy Spirit. I'll do this very quickly. The Holy Spirit is God, a person. You might want to write this down and think about it, because in the light of what is taking place at this experience, the Holy Spirit principles, the Holy Spirit is God, a person. So we understand that John is more concerned, even though it's interesting how it says it, behind him was a voice. I believe, and you believe, that he was more important, he was more impressed and more desirous of the person behind the voice than the voice. In other words, you have to understand that there's something here taking place. I do not personally believe that the experience which John is having at this particular point is a normal, routine experience of a person being in fellowship with the Lord and being filled with the Spirit. So I want you to see that I'm saying that there's something that I believe goes deeper than even that particular experience. So I want you to see that John is understanding some things about the fact that this is a unique experience And he's very, very interested in knowing what it's all about. And we're going to see what it's all about as we look at more verses. By the way, next Sunday, we'll be looking at verses 11 and 12. Some of you think we can't do but one verse at a time, but that's not the case. Number two, the Holy Spirit has a mission. The Holy Spirit's mission is to reveal Jesus Christ. Jesus has a mission to reveal the Father. The Father has a mission to send Jesus and the Holy Spirit so that we can know, love, and obey Him. Now, this is powerful when you think about all that's being pressed into these statements. We have to understand that John is out there on the Isle of Patmos. Some unique things are taking place. The Holy Spirit is God, a person. The Holy Spirit has a mission. One, to reveal Jesus. Two, to reveal the Father. Three, to send Jesus and the Holy Spirit so that we can know, love, and obey Him. If you'll notice how I've said this, to reveal Jesus, Jesus has a mission. To reveal the Father has a mission. To send Jesus and the Holy Spirit so that we can know, love, and obey Him. Number three, the Holy Spirit gives gifts to empower effective ministries. The Holy Spirit gives gifts to empower effective ministries. That is exactly what we're going to see as we continue to look at what's taking place in John's life out there on the Isle of Patmos. Number four, the Holy Spirit is a distinct person within the Godhead, not a thing, not an it, or a force. That's the reason why when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we do not talk about the Holy Spirit as it. We refer to the Holy Spirit as Him. Now let's go back to our verse of Scripture and let me share with you what I believe is something that's so very, very unique. Normally, I don't spend a lot of time analyzing what other people are saying, but I have some information that I want to read to you. And as I read this, I'm going to put some unique words on the screen for you to be able to see that will help you to have an appreciation for what is being said in the last part of this verse. Let's read it again. I came to be in the Spirit, or I was in the Spirit. On the imperial day, the day belonging to the Lord, and I heard a point of time, active voice, I heard. The indicative mood is the mood of reality. I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now the question that I have is, the trumpet of God or a voice? Are they the same? And in my research I found this article. It is written by David W. Lowe. It's in chapter 6 of his book called Earthquake Resurrection. And I was very impressed when I began to read because I was wanting to see some things that is expressed by the word trumpet. He says, in my previous chapter, the trumpet of God was briefly examined in terms of initiation of the sequence of the three-stage event that has been studied thus far. Just what could Paul have meant, talking about Paul's writings here, by the trumpet of God in 1 Thessalonians 4:17? Does the idea of God Almighty placing a gold or silver trumpet to His mouth come to my mind? Given His omnipotence, the idea of the Creator of the universe placing a literal trumpet to His mouth in heaven seems a little bit unnecessary. Could it be that the trumpet of God is actually His voice, rather than a trumpet that He places to His mouth and blows? Fortunately, there's a wealth of Scripture that will shed some light on this question. The first is Exodus chapter 19, in which the scene is set for the giving of the Ten Commandments. The following is the Septuagint version of the passage. Exodus 19:16. Let me read it. And it came to pass on the third day, as the morning drew nigh, There were voices and lightnings and a dark cloud on Mount Sinai. The voice of a trumpet. And now what I discover is that the word that I want you to see is the word that is being presented here. So we're going to put this on the screen for you and that you begin to see it. I believe that this will be helpful, even though you may not want to know all that much about the Greek words. Let's, first of all, look at the first word that's listed here. And it is the word that's in our verse of Scripture. So he's saying, in Exodus chapter 19:6, the voice of the trumpet, and the word trumpet from the Hebrew put over into the Greek, is this particular word. And so he says, sounded loud, and all the people in the camp trembled. Exodus 19:17, and Moses led the people forth out of the camp to meet God. They stood by under the camp. Exodus 19:18, now Mount Sinai was altogether in smoke, because God had descended upon it in fire. And the smoke went up like the smoke of a furnace, and the people were exceedingly amazed. In Exodus 19:19, and the sounds of the trumpet, same word in the Greek, were growing much louder. Moses spoke, and God answered him with a voice. It is clear, this famous account, that the voice heard from the mountain was the sound of a trumpet. Is that someone's phone ringing? If you'll just answer it, we'll get back to the trumpet. As God spoke to Moses, his voice shook the mountain, and the people were extremely terrified. When Paul recounted this spectacle in the letter to the Hebrews, the voice of the trumpet is again mentioned. Because in Hebrews 12:18, for you have not come to something that can be touched, to a burning fire and darkness and gloom and whirlwind, and the blast of a trumpet, same Greek word now, and a voice uttering words such as those who heard beg to hear more. This author goes on to say, the trumpet and the voice are again combined in describing God's communication to the Israelites. I want to repeat that statement. The trumpet and the voice are again combined in describing God's communication to the Israelites. Another example of supernatural communication and trumpets is found in Revelation when John encountered the Lord on the Isle of Patmos. Now that's what we're studying. In Revelation 1:10, that's our verse, I was in spirit on the Lord's day when I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. Same word. I want you to see this word over and over again. Revelation 4:1. After these things I looked, and there was a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice I heard speaking to me like a trumpet, same word, said, come up here so that I can show you what must happen after these things. Revelation chapter 1, the author says, states that John heard the resurrected Jesus Christ speaking to him, who would have been seated at the right hand of God after his ascension. In both cases, John describes a voice he heard as a loud trumpet blast. The voice and the shaking. In each of these verses, the Greek word is salpigos. Now, if you want to know how to pronounce that, when you find two G's in the Greek, it's NG, and so it's sphygnos. I just said that to you. It's interesting. In each verse explored above, the Greek word is the same one used to describe the trumpet or the sound of a trumpet. These Greek words are also found in true prophetic passages in 1 Corinthians and 1 Thessalonians in describing the sound just before the dead are resurrected. This is interesting to me, and I want you to understand. 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, there's that word, For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Are you following along? Are you seeing how fantastic this word is? 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The author continues, "For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a shout of command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet," same word, "from God, theos, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Now, you may not get all that excited about this, but just hold on, because I'm going to get more excited as I read this to you. According to Strong's Concordance, these words are associated with the reverberation and vibration sound made by a trumpet when it's blown. These Greek words have not root word origins that are too interesting and important to bypass. Again, to Strong's Concordance, one root word is salos. Now, what did I do with all my good information? I have it here somewhere, and I'm going to give it to you if it kills me. It's just about to kill me. I have these words written. Well, I've got it right here in my hand. That's the reason why I couldn't find it. Don't put it upside down for you. Now, stay with me and look at these words. I want you to see, this is what I wanted. I found a guy explaining some things that I wanted. It's good to find things which you want. I want a more described presentation of these Greek words for me, so that I could come here and shout to you. It says here, again, Strong's Concordance, one root word is salos. S-A-L-O-S. So I put it down for you to see. Then it says, it means the quavering or the billowing of the waves of the sea. And it is used but one time in the New Testament. It's found in Luke 21:25. And there'll be signs in the sun and moon and stars. And on the earth, nations will be in distress, anxious over the roaring of the sea and the surging waves. And there's the word that's used. A second root word for the Greek word that I put on the top list a while ago, which means shaken, troubled, disturbed, which is the word sino, which is the second word that you see on the screen, S-A-I-N-O. Sino, too, is used but once in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians 3:3, so that no one would be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are destined for this. But it gets more interesting. I was glad I could read that. It gets more interesting, he says. If he says it's going to get more interesting, I believe it's going to get more interesting. So let's get with it. The Greek word sino, S-A-I-N-O, which means would be shaken, is derived from the Greek word S-A-L-E-U-O, saluo, which according to Strong's Concordance means waver, shake, agitate. The verb is used several times in the New Testament, but it also has a primary root verb. The primary root verb is S-E-I-O. If you're staying with us now, S-E-I-O. Now let me read on. Which means to rock or to vibrate to and fro, to cause to tremble or to tremor, or to cause to shake or quake. One important verse that was discussed in the previous chapter uses this verb in Matthew 27:51. Just then, the temple curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, and the rocks were split apart. How many times have I said the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom, not from bottom to top, from top to bottom? But I didn't know this. The earth shook. Here's this Greek word. The rocks were split apart. Stay with me. The primary Greek word S-E-I-O, which you see on the screen, it's just going to bounce you right out of the pew. The primary Greek verb, S-E-I-O, is the word from which the English word seismograph, a device that measures earthquakes, is derived. It is also the root of the Greek noun seismos, S-E-I-S-M-O-S. I have it on the screen for you, S-E-I-S-M-O-S. Well, this common word for earthquake or shaking in the New Testament, it's used in an important verse that was discussed in previous chapter. In Revelation 11:13, just then a major earthquake, seismos, took place. Ray has referred to this in his book. And a tenth of the city collapsed. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, seismos. And the rest were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. Using these root words, a pattern of clues begins to form regarding what the trumpet of God may actually be and what will happen when it sounded. The voice of the trumpet was heard when God spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai and when John heard the voice of the Lord on the Isle of Patmos. The voice of the trumpet on Mount Sinai was so loud that it caused the earth to shake and vibrate. The trumpet of God will be sounded when the Lord descends and the dead in Christ are resurrected. The Greek word for the voice of the trumpet is this Greek word that I put on the screen, which is derived from a verb that is related to reverberation and vibration, a sound of a trumpet. The Greek word, salpinx, has its root in selos, sino, saluo, seo, those words I have on the screen, which are all used in the New Testament to describe motion, shaking, quaking, vibration. The Greek word seismos, or earthquake, is derived from the primary verb S-E-I-O. He concludes, the pattern of clues reveals that the voice of the Lord is the sound of a trumpet. The meaning of the Greek word trumpet has its root in motion and vibration. And a trumpet will sound at the resurrection of the dead in Christ, which will be a worldwide resurrection. His voice will sound like the vibration sound of a trumpet, causing the dead in Christ to awake from death and rise with an imperishable body and powerful shaking in the surrounding earth. The shout of command may be similar to the command given to Lazarus to come forth. Jesus confirmed that his voice is that which would be raising from the dead. Let me see if I can read the rest of it. John says, do not be amazed at this, because a time is coming when all who are in tombs will hear his voice and will come out, John 5:29. The ones who have done good, what is good to the resurrection. This is an emphasis upon a right relationship to God. This passage is referring to the resurrection of the dead, which has been reviewed in previous chapters in his book. Now, so much for that. We come back to our verse of Scripture. Our time is up, but let's come back to our verse of Scripture. I had come to a point of being in the Spirit of God, far exceeding a regular relationship, which is normal. But this is something extra special. On the imperial day, and I heard behind me a voice. What type of voice? It was a voice. And the Scripture emphasizes what all it's about. So let's go to the passage and look at it again. When I look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, I was in spirit. On the Lord's day, I heard behind me a loud voice, like the sound of a trumpet, saying, write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. Then look at verse 12, and we'll look at this Sunday. I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. Are you ready for that? We're going to find some fantastic things in Revelation 1, 11 and 12 next Sunday. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Thank you, Father, for this time together, the wonderful opportunity which we have to focus our minds upon eternal truths. We pray that we will understand more and more as we live day by day and open our hearts and minds to the wonderful words of God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.